Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, I'm Ann Eller, and I am here with Wendy Andrews. She is the Director of Community Partnerships for the Greenwood County Community Foundation. Now, that's a mouthful, Wendy.
It is, isn't it?
Yes, it
Imagine
is.
Writing it. Every time I write it, I was like, it just never ends.
Yeah, that's right. But you may know Wendy from working at United Way with the VITA program. Of course, that was the free tax program that has been developed here. Boy, that program has come a long way, Wendy.
It really has. Oh, and it's making such a significant difference in the community and the people that come and benefit from the services. So the first year the program was active, we only did 35 tax returns. Mm-hmm. And this year I know they are knocking at 2,000 door if they haven't already surpassed that.
Sure.
So it has grown significantly. We were able to secure a 3-year federal grant to sustain the program. So I'm just really excited about the growth and the service that it's providing.
That's right. And one of the good things it does, it brings a lot of dollars back into our community.
It really does, because you know those that's money that the consumers can actually have to in their pockets that they won't have to pay to have someone to prepare their taxes, and
sure.
That's savings in itself. When you have like 700, 800 individuals with getting their tax returns, and then you multiply that by $100, you know, which is the minimum payment, that's a lot of savings.
And not only that, y'all work with people to help them learn how to budget a little bit.
Exactly. So you have that financial stability that has to go along with that, because we want you to take that and to enhance your quality of life. I remember stakeholder partner that we had from the IRS, she told us, the very first one we had, she said that she used her refund every year to put her through college.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it actually helped improve her quality of life, because then she had children and she was able to pass that along to them. And so it's a great program.
It really is. It is a great program. And so I guess it would have been hard to leave that program, wasn't it?
It was very hard. It was like leaving a baby. You know, and the good thing about it was that I was actually still in the same building.
Yes.
So I would actually get to see all of my coworkers, would actually get to see all of the tax preparers or the people that I trained, and, you know, the interns that came. So that was a great experience. So it was a transition. And then even after I was employed at Greenwood County Community Foundation, Mark, you know, said that, come on, we don't want to just leave them. So there was 10 hours a week mm-hmm. for the next couple of weeks that I would go down and make sure that, you know, everything was in place and running smoothly.
Well, that's terrific. Now, what do you actually do at your new job?
Well, I have, I'm the project manager for the Greenwood County Community Indicators Project. That's our latest initiative, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm also over the granting process there. So we have currently 4 grant cycles. We're getting ready to have our open granting, which if someone hasn't, an organization hasn't already received a grant this calendar year, they will be able to apply for a grant up to $5,000. So I oversee that, all of that process, as well as building community partnerships and relationships.
Well, you know, that is terrific. You know, and we haven't actually had the Greenwood County Community Foundation for that long.
Right. It's only been around a little over 2.5 years. Well, coming up on 3 years.
And what was the original idea of the program?
Well, there was a gentleman who had gone to and visited other communities and saw the benefit of a community foundation in that area, and thought that Greenwood County could benefit from a foundation as well. So he orchestrated a $2.5 million startup gift and with a $3 million additional match money to sustain the foundation. And from there, we've generated over $4 million. And we're proud to say that this year, recently with the Symetra Golf Tournament, that we have granted out $1 million in grants. And that's quite an accomplishment in a short period of time.
Absolutely. And of course, they're going to be growing more and more as people understand how this actually works.
Right. And the thing is that when you're here in Greenwood County, and this is a community that has nurtured you and have given you a quality of life, you know, educated you, your children have grown up here, then you want to give back to that community. Some people are passionate about different things. So it's a way to leave a legacy behind through your endowment, so that whatever your passions are, that people know that you can be, you can fund that particular organization or program in perpetuity through your endowment.
Sure. So that was that's a very good thing about the Greenwood County Community Foundation, but a lot of people still don't know exactly what it's all about. But it's a great way for organizations to be able to get grant money to do particular projects, and it's a great way for people who are looking at what to do with their money to make sure that it keeps on giving long after, and it can be something where you can name something, you can keep it, keep your name alive through keeping grants alive.
Exactly, with your passion living on long beyond your years.
That's right. So, you have joined the organization. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but I'm really interested, particularly because we've got a little bit of war going on here, and you were in the Navy.
Oh, yes, I was in the Navy. That was quite an experience. Majority of my time was spent in Holy Loch, Scotland. So they have...
Darn, such a bad job, I'm telling you.
No, someone had to do it.
But what made you go into the Navy to begin with? Are you from Greenwood?
I am from Greenwood. I was in JROTC all through high school, and I really enjoyed it. You know, I was on the drill team. I was a platoon leader, and then eventually come to commander, and it was just great.
Commander,
experience.
Okay. She's a power play person here, folks.
I was trained by the best. The military give you some excellent training.
They do.
So I just enjoyed that camaraderie ship, and you know, in the how it made me feel on the inside. I was part of something that was bigger than I am. And that's what, when you go into boot camp, anyone who's ever been in boot camp know that the goal there is to break down the individual and build up a team. You know, because we can't accomplish anything alone. We're going to always need the support of others around us to help us accomplish our goals.
Sure. And so it was a passion. So, I mean, okay, so you were in ROTC. And so what made you make that next step then?
Well,
because a lot of people just do it and they go, oh, that was nice. And then they go on with their life.
I mean, I was in it for 3 years. You know, when I was in high school, let's just say high school was 10th or 12th grade. Just telling my age. So I was in for 3 years. Now it's 9th or 12th grade. But, you know, afterwards, you know, my best friend was going to USC. I applied to USC. And, of course, my mom had saved money for me to go to college while I was going. And so I kind of put it on the back burner, and I went to Carolina. And you know, after 2 years there, I would see the officers that were going through the school. You know, they were in their uniforms and things like that. Well, they were training. They were going through. And after they completed that, then they would go on to be officers. And it just kind of awakened it in me again. And I realized that I was following not my own dreams and passions at that time. So I...
So why did you choose the Navy, though?
Well, I chose the Navy because I didn't want to go into the Army.
I know
it was Army ROTC because that's what we had.
Some people say because they could always be clean. Some people say you're not out in the field and this type of thing.
It was the Army. I mean, it was the Navy or the Air Force. And to be honest, I realized that... rising up in rank was a little bit more difficult in the Air Force, depending on what rate you're in and what, you know, you were studying. It could take a long time to rise up the ranks. You know, of course, if you rise up the ranks, that's more money, you know, you get more perks, you know.
Sure, exactly.
So I was like, I think I can do the Navy, and then actually, you know, when I took the test, I was an instrumentation calibration technician. I liked it because I was kind of mechanically inclined back then. Not so much now, but back then. And it intrigued me, and it was an open rate. So I scored really well to go into that field, and I loved it. I really, really loved it. We serviced the submarines out at sea. They would just pull up alongside of us, and we would do a lot of work.
So were you at sea?
I was at
sea. You were
docked
at the harbor there, never got very far from land. Wendy, what's the story here?
Well, Holy Loch, Scotland, you actually were not actually docked up to the land. You were actually out in the water a little bit.
Oh, okay.
So you had to take a Liberty boat, you know, get on a boat to go to land.
Okay.
So, I was on a sub tender, so we didn't travel very often. We didn't go out. We weren't like the destroyers or things like that. We were just docked there for 2 years. And, It was really interesting. I love Scotland, too. Scotland has some amazing people.
Yeah. Well, they just decided to stay part of the British Kingdom there, so that's pretty interesting.
Yes, but there's no more Navy base there where I was stationed. And the SAS 33 Simon Lake has since been decommissioned, so that part of it has kind of been removed. But when I was there, I'm going to give you an interesting piece of information.
Okay.
That was when the mad cow disease was out.
Oh, yeah.
So when I was working with United Way, there was this blood drive, upstate blood drive, the blood connection. So I went to give blood. And once they discovered that I had been in Scotland during that time,
they wouldn't take your blood.
And they bust my bubble. They said I would never, ever in life again be able to give blood. That was devastating.
Wow. And yeah. They couldn't test you to see if you had the mad cow?
She said only after death, when they autopsy my brain, would they be able to tell if I was actually infected.
So, Wendy, if anything ever comes up, you can say it's the influence of the mad cow.
I use it now.
I knew it.
All the time. It's the mad cow.
Hey, you know, one of the things, being a woman and being in the Navy, you know, there's been a lot of question about whether they should be co-ed on the submarines particularly. Mm. What's your idea? What do you think?
Okay, this is my personal opinion. I do not speak for all the women right. in the military, but me personally, I do not think that that's a good idea. I think that the submarines usually stay down for like 6 months at a time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. and it's very, very close quarters.
Yes.
And it's not like there's a lot of activities that you can do. Like right. we would get, you know, because things like that happen. You know, a lot of people, when I'm going to say even myself, when I was in Scotland, you know, you kind of a little lonely. That's how I met my husband, now my ex-husband.
Okay.
And I was like, did I really marry him because
Because you loved him or because you were lonely?
Yeah,
and
yeah, you know, like, so I just think that sometimes we have to be careful about putting people in
confining
quarters, and we can sometimes create a situation that would not normally be there. You know, so there are a lot of wonderful women in the military that I'm sure that may not be an issue, of course, especially if they're married.
Right.
But, you know, you just don't want to put yourself in there. I wouldn't want to put myself in that type of situation.
Well, I was just curious because you don't get to talk to many women that are in the Navy or have been in the Navy that you can get an opinion from. So I thought I'd take this opportunity to get an opinion from one that has been in the Navy.
Oh, my goodness. My Facebook page is going to blow up with backlash. That's merely my opinion.
Right. And that's what it's about, isn't it? Yeah,
it is. Exactly.
Well, I tell you what, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about Wendy. We're going to be talking about the program, the Greenwood County Commission Community Foundation. They found out a lot of good things. Maybe they found out a few ugly ones. I don't know. But we're going to talk all about it right here on WCRS. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. We're here with Wendy Andrews this afternoon. She is with the Greenwood County Community Foundation. She is the Director of Community Partnerships. And for those that were just listening, we were talking a little bit about in the Navy. There you go. In the Navy. And we've had some good conversation here this afternoon. But I guess all that experience really gave you a unique skill set when you got out of the Navy.
It did. I think my work ethics were formed in the military. You know, you work hard. You know, you give honest day's work. You know, the saying was, we got time to lean, you got time to clean.
Yeah, that's and what then, they say in all the fast food restaurants, right?
Right.
Where did that come from?
Yeah. The military.
There you go.
So, you know, I just feel like you do a hard day's work and you get paid for that. And then, you know, you're with a very diverse group. It makes you more compassionate. about people's circumstances, situations, the differences, you know, in cultures and things,
sure.
You know, even the people that are from the North versus people from the South. And so, you know, that's a great quality to have, because you can, you know, be sensitive to those differences and respect those differences. And then, of course, you know, it builds up your leadership skills.
Sure. Well, you know, a lot of people say that we should still have the draft, because people would have to get along and learn to really work. And that's a whole nother side of it, too.
Yes.
From the standpoint of learning how to work and learning how to get along.
Right. That's true.
Well, I mean, you know.
There is an incredible skill set that can come from that.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm trying to weigh the draft thing, though.
So, well, I mean, have to do some type of service
for the country. I think that it would be, I think everyone should do at least 4 years in the military. You would first have a very different perspective on life, you know, in your community. And then when you go to different countries and things, that in itself is a difference of how, at least the countries that I was in.
Did it make you appreciate our own country more?
It really did. It really did. It also maybe at that, remember I was in 87 and 91. It also made me see myself differently as well. You know, so yeah, I'm very honored to be an American.
Well, that's
good.
I
wouldn't want to be anywhere else. There's no place like it.
That's right. That's right. And sometimes
America,
I think we
rocks.
Yeah, it does rock. And sometimes I think we have a tendency to kind of forget that sometimes when we're hit with all the different things that we're hit with in the news, in the media today.
Yeah, we really do take that for granted. We really do take that for granted. Until you live other places, you really don't know what you have and the liberties that we have that other people have fought and died for.
Absolutely.
So
that's
you have
right.
to treasure these things.
Well, see, this was a good conversation that we didn't even plan to have here today.
I know,
and that's why I love doing this show so much, because you never know what aspects you're going to talk about, and how you get to where you are today.
Right.
I think means a lot on how you grew up and the experience that you've had since you've been grown up.
Mm-hmm. I say all the time that everyone is a product of their upbringing and environment and situations and circumstances. All of those things shape and make us who we are today.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So you're from Greenwood. You left and you went to Scotland. You went all these places, and you still came back to Greenwood.
Mm-hmm. Greenwood is home. You know, when you graduate from high school,
right?
You can't wait first till you're grown and leave your parents home.
Right.
You know, I can't wait to get up out of here.
You're right.
You know, and then you realize about 20 years later that you're actually beginning to sound like your parents when you have your own children. And then I came back here for two reasons. It wasn't a choice that I came back here. I was laid off. You know, it was downturn in the economy. I came back to Greenwood in 2008. And so I didn't have, you know, income. You know, the bills
sure.
keep coming in. You know, you can live on your savings and whatever you have for only so long. And so my mom's here. So, of course, she was helping out. And I was like, that's not right. Her to have to help out. She needs her money. So
right.
I thought it'd be cheaper if I come back here. But also, I wanted to come back here because my children, you know, we were in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And Atlanta is a, love Atlanta, a lot of culture and things of that nature. But it's a little bit faster paced and a little bit more trying
mm-hmm.
sometimes for children, and particularly in different environments. And I wanted my children to have the experience that I had when neighbors are neighbors,
mm-hmm.
you know, when everybody speaks to each other and know each other. I mean, you can be in Atlanta, live in Atlanta for years, go to the grocery store and never see the one you know.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, you know, you coming home and they got that home living with everyone. It's so much different. It's so much different. My children absolutely love it. And, you know, we can go away, but you're going to come back home.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm here with Wendy Andrews. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Greenwood County Community Foundation. Right now, we're going to join the news in progress. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos.
So I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
All right, I'm right here with Wendy Andrews. We're exchanging philosophies here off the air. No, we're not going to tell you what we were talking about. Mm-mm. So there you go.
Exactly.
But, Wendy, you came on board to work with this this Greenwood County Community Indicators Project. Now, what is a Greenwood Community Indicators Project?
Well, Community Indicators Project are long-term processes that have four key components. You know, first, you assess a community's greatest needs. What are the greatest needs in a community? You know, our leaders oftentimes think that they know what the needs are because of what, you know, their own...
Because they're the leaders.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
But in order to really know, you need to ask the people, what are your needs? Because sometimes we spend resources in places we don't need to, and, you know, so addressing those needs. And the second component is to measure the current conditions of those needs. So once we identify a need, you know, the community says this is a need. Is it really a need? Mm-hmm. So we have to see where do we stand and where do we measure now. Say, for example, high school dropout rate. What is our high school dropout rate now? What was it 2, 3, 4 years ago?
Sure.
So you can see a trend to see if, in fact, it is improving, declining, or staying the same. And then you want to create collaborative efforts among community stakeholders to move the needle in a positive direction as far as addressing those needs. Okay, so we've identified this is a problem. What are we going to do about it? And we can't do it alone. We have to get the collaborative efforts of the community. And then finally, we've got to report back. Okay, we've said this is a need. You know, this is where we are now. We've got this group together, and this is what we've done to address the need. And so the key part of that is systematic reporting. So, and also periodic assessments, because what probably would have been identified in 2008, 2009 when there was a downturn in the economy, mm-hmm. is probably a little bit different than what it would be now, because what we saw emerge from this one is community enrichment engagement, quality of life, arts and culture, parks and recreation, you know, activities for the youth. You know, those type of things emerged. They probably wouldn't have even scratched the surface in 2009 if you did an assessment. It would have been emergency crisis food needs, food, clothing, shelter, you know, employment. You know,
sure.
Those are the things that would have just come out like the rose like the cream.
Well, except we still have those needs today, don't we?
And you will always have those needs. As long as we are living and, you know, we're breathing, there will always be that need. Unless we reach a utopia, which is an ideal world that we can strive to achieve and reach. But, you know, that's idealistic. But reality is there is always going to be a need in the community. And, the key is to decrease those needs, decrease the number of people that are in need of those type of services, and to provide them with the tools that they need to help to enable them to become more self-sufficient. Because, you know, people, believe it or not, don't oftentimes, well, you know, there's always a group, but they would prefer to be self-sufficient because it makes them feel good about themselves.
Sure.
Like the parents that I know were getting toys for Christmas, and the father was very upset that he couldn't provide, you know, the toys for his Christmas. We think we're doing a good thing. Oh, we're going to give this family some toys. But to think how it makes that man feel,
sure,
that he cannot get those toys for his children. So what do? We let him earn the money, you know,
right.
Earn the toys. We can't just, you know, have a toxic charity and just give to people. We have to give them their power and their self-esteem back. So we let them earn that, and there are a lot of different ways we can do that.
Sure. It's like one of the reasons I actually like the Salvation Army, the Angel Trees,
mm-hmm.
is they actually want the toys to come from the parents.
Exactly.
And
they feel so much better because, you know, it's like they're really from them.
Right.
Yeah.
And then that makes a difference rather than we got a handout.
Exactly.
We And the parents, you know that the parents would love to be able to do it themselves, but because of situation, they can't. So they, the Salvation Army, makes it so that they actually are coming from the parents. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've been told that they really want just the parents to come pick up the toys. They don't want the
kids
there.
You don't want the children there to see and to pick out. That, you know, Christmas is supposed to be full of some surprises, too, you know?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. So what did this study, first off, how many people were involved in giving input?
Well, we had, for our assessment phase, we did it in two parts, community forums as well as countywide surveys. We had 257 participants at the forums, mm-hmm. and also 1,866 survey responses. So that was quite a bit. And I always tell people when I've spoken recently that to put that number in perspective, because it might seem kind of low
sure.
when you're saying 1,866 and we're counting with 70,000 residents.
Right.
Okay, so to put it in perspective, Long Beach, California,
mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's the 35th, 36th city, largest city in the United States, with a population of nearly 500,000 residents. They did their latest community health needs assessment. Now, most oftentimes, these assessments are done every 3 years because you got to have time to move the needle and make change. So from September 2011, March 2012, they collected, through an intensive effort, I read.
Okay, you read, okay.
1,309 surveys. So with a population of nearly 500,000, let's make the number sound bigger, a half a million,
right?
They were only able to get 1,309 survey responses.
Well, then my next question to you would be, how do you make sure you're getting a cross-section of the county?
Well, what we did was identify 12 community sectors before we even started to do the community sector. So we got leaders from the education, healthcare, industry, neighborhoods, the youth, faith community, all of that, so that we can, as best we can, make sure that our survey responses are representative of the makeup of our county.
Sure. Yeah.
We wanted everybody to have an opportunity to give the surveys. We actually had around 3,500 printed mm-hmm. and distributed them to many of the nonprofits in the area so their clients can complete the surveys. So, and also put them in the school districts. So that was how we, you know, and from those 12 community sectors, each sector had their own forum. So the largest with 60 participants was the neighborhood
mm-hmm.
association. So we attended the neighborhood association.
Wouldn't you love to get a bigger sample though?
I would.
I mean, seriously, wouldn't you just love to be able to get more info? I know you're comparing it to Long Beach, and in retrospect, we did very well, 1,800 versus 1,300, 1,800 in a 70,000 community versus 1,300 in a 500,000 or half a million people. Much, much better. But it would be so much more better
if it was 100%.
Yes.
I would love it. You know, I did a lot of research. I'm a research person.
Yeah, good.
And actually, our number is for us, the percentage that we received are higher than a lot of communities. And that says a lot for us. That says a lot that our county residents are concerned, you know, and want to lend their voices. Okay. I wish we had 6 months to do it like Long Beach did instead of 1 month. That's another kill. We only completed ours in 1 month. They had 6 months. I'm sure our numbers would have increased, but I am very pleased with the responses that we received. However, I am a little disappointed that these survey responses aren't completely representative of the county. And I think 3 years from now, when another community needs assessment is done, that we have that time to really get those people that didn't participate this mm-hmm. time to participate, because maybe some other needs would have emerged that didn't emerge from this one. But what we feel good about is that we made it available to everyone, online, paper, surveys, through churches, through the nonprofit organizations, you know.
You tried, is what you're telling me.
We tried.
Yeah.
We really did. And we feel good about our efforts and the amount of, and the number of responses.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are here with Wendy Andrews. When we come back, we're going to be talking about what she found out after she gathered this data, what we need to work on, what's good, and maybe some of the things that are kind of bad. Can you believe it? We might have something bad here in Greenwood.
Not in Greenwood.
Right. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, I'm here talking with Wendy Andrews. She is the Director of Community Partnerships. They just did this needs assessment. We've got just a little bit of time to talk about, but I think it's been important to talk about the backstory, how this all came together to be able to explain it. So let's start with, what was the bad, the ugly? Was there anything bad that we're working that we need to really work on?
You know, I think that a lot of people, well, we had the rollout to the elected officials, community leaders.
Well, we're going to talk about elected officials. Well, there you go. There's where the bad is, folks.
I'm talking about my elected officials. Yeah, there you go. No, and the community leads, a lot of nonprofits. We wanted to roll out. And what they didn't know was that, you know, the Community Indicators Committee, we were all there. But outside of myself, they were hearing, seeing the results for the first time themselves. So they didn't know what the outcome was. They were seeing it at the same time, and that's the way they wanted it. They wanted to see the reaction. They wanted to hear what everybody was saying. And they wanted to see it as like everybody in that group was seeing it.
Sure.
And so
they didn't want to be prepared?
No, they wanted, that speaks very highly of them, right. You know, and their commitment to the process. But
that means they could take it?
They can take it. Yeah, and because and it was important because they're very invested in making Greenwood County a better place to live. As funders, I mean, do you know who the collaborating partners are? The collaborating partners for the Greenwood County Community Council, I'm just going to give them a shout out. Greenwood Chamber of Commerce, Greenwood Partnership Alliance, Self Family Foundation, Self Regional Healthcare, United Way of Greenwood and Abbeville Counties, and of course, Greenwood County Community Foundation. So as collaborators and funders, you know, and partners and all of that, we have a vested interest, you know, with our roles in making Greenwood County a better place to live, because our investors want to know and our donors want to know, and we want to know, are our dollars really making a difference in Greenwood County?
Absolutely.
Where do we need to focus on? So for me, coming from United Way, I was not shocked.
You were not?
Okay. I'm very much aware of the circumstances and situations in our community. I don't have blinders on.
Right.
I'm very aware that there's a pocket, a poverty pocket, you know, in the community. I'm aware that there's, unfortunately, there's a lot of children that are living in poverty. I think that was the one that struck a chord with everyone because, you know, Frank put it, he put it very much in perspective when he said, you know, you have 37.3% or whatever the number was of children living in poverty. That's a number. But now you got to think about the human suffering behind that number.
Sure.
What does that mean to their everyday life? I see that every day at the community center, the United Center, Center for Community Care, because that's where they come. There's, you know, the nonprofit Salvation Army and places like that. That's where they come. We see them all the time. But if that's not your world, if that's not where you work, if that's not your social of friends, your circle of friends, or, you know, who your children hang out with, or this and that, you can live over here. You can live in a different world and not be touched by it. So you think you're not touched by it, but you're touched by it. Because
it's just like we don't believe that we have any homeless people.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, exactly.
But we do have homeless people right here in Greenwood.
We surely do. Surely do. And what they understand, homelessness, by definition, is that you don't have a place to lay your head. You don't have a place to call your home. Going from one home every night to the next home, to somebody's couch, to a car, you know, back over here to get a hotel stay, you're homeless.
Sure. That's
because
right.
You don't have a home place to call you. Just because you don't see it like you see on TV in New York City, they're hanging out on the streets or, you know, under the
bridges.
Right. Yeah. You know, we have a homeless situation here.
Sure.
And so.
So what did we find? Was it the children's poverty? What was the, What was the bad? And then we're going to talk about what was the good. But what was the worst thing that this maybe brought out that needs to be worked on here in Greenwood?
Yeah, that is the high number of children that are living in poverty. And because we know that when children live in poverty, especially early on, and it affects everything. It affects their education. It affects their health. You know, it affects the way they develop. It affects the outcome for them later in life. So, you know, that has to be, you know, addressed, because what we've learned is early education and development is key. And what Dr. Brady said was, we used to think that public health, the health was the thing that affected, you know, the outcome. But it's education. It's a thing that affects, it's just a domino effect.
Sure. One of the things we had Denise Manley and Jonathan Graves on a few weeks ago, and one of the things that I was amazed to know, and I had no reason really to know this, but the child that goes home on Friday afternoon and does not really eat, may eat, but doesn't eat anything nourishing, comes back to school on Monday, goes back into the schools, gets the food. It's like, I think she said Wednesday, before they really can absorb all the things that they're being taught, because their brains are starved for good nutrition.
Exactly. And it takes a while for that to catch up. I was at home the other night and I was hungry. You know, I hadn't eaten. I was like, I am really, really hungry. And I ate something. But what I made a sandwich.
Right.
That wasn't enough.
Right.
You know, even then, I still, and that was all, I just fixed myself an hour later. I was like, I still feel that pain.
Right.
You know, so it's going to take something to sustain, to fill that gap and to get to nourish your body. It's
like, right.
You know, it's fuel. And then, you know, you got to, I mean, think about that. I get cranky. I'm just going to talk for myself. If I get really, really hungry, I get really, really irritable. My head hurts. I can't focus. I'm cranky.
And yet you probably have never really been hungry.
Exactly.
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 I mean, you may have wanted more than what you had.
Right.
But you've never been.
I've experienced a few hunger pangs. But I've never been where I couldn't get a meal within a few hours.
Sure.
Or a day.
Right.
You know. So imagine going the whole weekend like that, and, you know, time after time. I think
I think the backpack, just to give a pat on the back to what the United Way is doing, the backpack program where they send food home on the weekends, the churches that are doing this with the backpack program, is such a good program because it does help tie over the program.
It really does. And I think the first year, well, first week, because when I was at United Way when this program started, we were astonished to find out that there were 1,200 children in the school district that qualified or to receive a backpack.
Right.
And at that time, there was only enough funding available for 50.
Yeah.
You know, so now they've been able to double that, and they probably even...
I think they're up to around 700, but that's
700.
About 100. Yeah.
Wow.
I think.
Okay.
But
that's outstanding, because even if that is in fact the number, you're already meeting half of the needs of, of those 1,200 students. And that makes a big deal. You know, I think we need to change our perspective. And that'll help us to be able to move forward to address the needs. What do I mean by that? I think that,
you know, the Salvation Army was on here last week, and their food pantry is empty.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Melody, and, you know, when we hear things like that, the food pantry is empty, we have no food, you think, well, there's not really much I can do. So I asked Melody, how much food would $20 provide? If I gave a $20 donation, how much would it provide?
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that with $20, they could do 4 bags of groceries for 3 days for a family of 4.
Wow.
And I said to myself,
I can't, what are you shopping?
Right, exactly. Exactly. My point being that if we break it down into something much smaller, now I can see how I can help. So really with $40, I can almost feed a family for a week.
Right, exactly.
And when I put it in that perspective, I think we all can sit here and go, well, I could not buy that latte today or, you know, or something like that. But you could take $20 because we all know that we can't shop for $20.
Right, exactly.
And bring that type of stuff home.
Exactly.
And it's like Melody said, she said she had no idea when they had all the food drives last year and they got more food in from all the kids and all this type of stuff. She thought they would be fine till about October. Mm-mm. They were out in June mm-hmm. because the need is that much greater.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, people are very generous anyway, but during the holidays, you know, the giving spirit hits you, you know, then you have the food pantry and the food banks and the soup kitchen, you know, the donations are pouring in.
Sure.
And then by the time the summer rolls around, people on vacation, you know, they're living life.
Sure.
The children are out of school. I know as a parent, when my children are out of school, I love them to death, but I'm like, God, they eat me out of house and a home.
They do. And you're listening right here to WCRS right here in Greenwood. So food is one of the biggies of poverty for children.
Right. Poverty is, okay, we have five focus areas that emerged.
Okay.
Okay. Those were the focus areas that were identified. It was education, which we call Knowledge for Tomorrow. We have our public health initiative, which we call Health and Wellness. We have which we call Economic Vitality. We have the family unit, of course, because everything starts with that. We call in that our family vibrancy. And then the fifth focus areas that emerged from the assessment was community enrichment and engagement. And those are like the categories, if you will. Under each one of those categories are the needs, the things that are the community indicators. Community indicators are those things that we have the power to change. Those are things that we can measure. You have to be able to measure it first, and then we can actually change it through our collaborative efforts, refocusing our resources, you know, centralizing and concentrated effort. So let's say under family unit, or family vibrancy, the indicators there were like domestic violence, juvenile crime, property and violent crime, and family structure, and then adult violent mm-hmm. crimes. So those are things that we can really affect change in, as well as education. So those are the things. It's not things such as food, clothing, and shelter. Mm-hmm. Those are not the things that came from
out of this.
They're not. It's just that basically, you know, to summarize, we need to reduce crime in our county.
Mm-hmm. We had a horrible crime last year.
That was an isolated incident. I'm not saying isolated, but that is what spiked up, and that's what people realized, and that's what we said when we went there. When mm-hmm. we were like, okay, now, you know, 9 murder suicides in a 2-week period is very unusual.
Right.
Okay, and that's going to increase our crime rate.
Exactly.
You know, but the mayor says that already that the crime rate is down in Greenwood. That's the city of Greenwood County. And
so, I mean, that was a spike. But I guess kind of we're going to have to wrap this up.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that you are really going to be working on? What has come out of this that you're going to work on for the next, Gracie? Come on now.
Coming up next, we're going to roll this thing out to the community, because what we did was roll it out to the community leaders and everything. And that's going to be in October. October the 14th, we'll be at the Veterans Center, 5:30 to 7:00. And then October the 16th, from 8:30 to 10:00, we'll be at the county library. So we're going to invite the community to come in and hear what everyone else has been told. And then from that, we're going to form a coalition. Because like I said before, someone has to address the issues. Okay, if high school dropout rate, which has been declining, is an issue, then who's going to address that? The school district, you know, of course, they already, you know, that's part of what they do. But it's also so much more than the school district. It's the families. It's the community. It's everything that we can do collectively to bring that down, because mm-hmm. we all have an obligation. And then we can do so much more. So the next step we're going to do is we're going to put out a community summary report that'll be next month, summarizing what the community indicators are, what the focus areas are. And then after that, we're going to form a coalition to affect change. And we're going to systematically report this out to the community and let them know the success of our efforts. Because you've identified these needs, and we need to keep you informed on how we're doing. And
absolutely,
that's what we're going to do.
You know, and I think probably this is something that is going to take, it's going to take a lot of people to pull this all together and make change.
It is. It's going to take, we're going to have a collective impact. It's going to, and everybody has a role to play. Everyone has a role to play. But most importantly, we really have to centralize in our efforts in order to make a difference. And large scale community change is not something that happens overnight. It happens over years. Sometimes you can't even see it happening. We sometimes, you know, as the race of people, humans, we like instant gratification. Sure. But if we are sincere and we want to see a change, large scale change, then we're going to have some patience too.
Sure.
You know, we got to build a strong workforce. If we want to build up and stimulate our economy, then we need to be able to continue to attract businesses and organizations and industries here. But once they come here, we need to have a qualified workforce to work there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, it's a chicken and an egg and a chicken situation.
Exactly.
Isn't it? All right. Well, we're going to have to wind this up. Wendy, we'll have to have you back again to talk some more.
Oh, I've enjoyed every minute of it. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Gracie knows when it's 5 o'clock, folks.
He does.
That's going to do it. Bye-bye, everybody.